politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Adam, did you hear this story? Your significant other was just in Colorado, right?
Yes.
Did you know that some big Internet of Things story there? I read it. I processed it. I jettisoned it. I was done with it. Travis, you know the story?
Yeah, there's a electric company out there in Colorado that has been remotely disabling smart thermostats.
What?
The purpose of that is to make sure that they can avoid as much as possible crises where they have to shut down the whole system because there's a total overload with people using too much energy.
So it's like a rolling blackout, sort of.
Yeah, so if you can possibly have a situation where there's a certain level where it analyzes the data and says, yeah, we're now drawing too much energy, it's like everybody shares a little of the pain as opposed to certain people having all of the pain or the whole system going down.
But there's sort of a fine line then between saying like, hey, everybody, you should probably conserve energy, and just reaching into their home and making them conserve energy. What happened?
Yeah, I'd say that's the biggest concern here, especially if you think about if you have a health problem or something like that, and it's not really very good for you to suddenly have your home temperature go up to 100 degrees. There's a lot that can go wrong here.
But are they doing it, or are they thinking about doing it?
They did it. They shut everybody down because there was too much of a draw on the energy because Colorado's been enduring a heat wave.
But is this just the smart thermostats? It has to be, because like a manual thermostat, you wouldn't be able to reach into it and do something like that.
Right.
Okay.
It's a program that they're trying out. Obviously, certain people are not thrilled that they're in the program. I don't know whether, is it a voluntary participation, or is it, congratulations, you've been drafted.
it's a little bit of both.
All those who want to be volunteers, raise your hand. If you haven't raised your hand, you are a volunteer.
No, it's like that. It's like that receptionist in Monsters, Inc. who every time you turn around, she's just there going, hello.
I think when people signed up for these smart thermostats, they were told somewhere in the fine print that there was maybe a remote possibility that they'd be shutting it off or, you know, doing the rolling blackout thing. And then I think people thought like, okay, that sounds fine. That really doesn't sound that likely. And then when it starts getting super, super hot, the, you know, half the country is on fire with wildfires, everything like that, then suddenly you try to, you know, turn on a little bit of air conditioning, and then you're seeing that you can't.
Here's the fix. Ready, everybody in Colorado who's having their thermostats reset by somebody who shouldn't be doing it, namely the power company, go to the hardware store and get yourself a manual thermostat. All you got to do is take that thermostat that's giving them access to your home off the wall. There's a little 5-prong plug in there. Plug in the manual and you're done.
Easily said by a man who's currently living out in the wilderness with bears and raccoons.
It's not, come on, it's basically like unplugging a blender. It's not that hard. But so that's my solution. That is what I say. If you have one of these devices, you need to get rid of it. You just need to get rid of it. Never mind turning the house.
Right.
Is there any threat that, you know, someone else can get access, like a hacker? I mean, this could this be the new ransom attack?
If a power company is able to disable your thermostat remotely, then a hacker can.
Can I just tell you a quick story? I came home from work when Adam and I used to work in a physical office, and my apartment was like 25 degrees. Man, nah, probably not. It was probably like 40 degrees. Very cold, though. It was wintertime. And you know what had happened?
Somebody turned off your heat because you didn't pay the bill?
Nope. Travis?
Someone hacked your thermostat?
Sort of. My dog, James, ripped the thermostat off the wall and chewed it up, which turned it off.
That gives new meaning to the concept dog day afternoon.
Yeah, indeed.
On that note, welcome to What the Hack, a show about hackers, scammers, and the people they go after. I'm Adam, cyber confused.
I'm Bo, cyber Confucius.
And I'm Travis, and Bo just took my cyber Confucius line.
And today we hear about how annoying a stolen credit card number can actually be.
This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric e-bike.
With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every Electric e-bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
This is my first ever e-bike, and the experience has just been great. I was a little bit intimidated at first because I hadn't gone biking in a while, but the 500-watt motor that the Electric e-bike comes with really gives you a nice little boost, especially if you're trying to go uphill or pick up some speed.
Data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often. That means you get more exercise, more exploration, and wait for it, fresh air.
And riding an e-bike isn't like, it's not cheating. It's just making it possible for you to be out there longer on each ride. And speaking of things going a little slower, you can finance an Electric e-bike for as little as $49 a month.
Get into spring with Electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that What the Heck with Adam Levin sent you in the post-checkout survey.
That's electricebikes.com.
So here's the deal. I use Yahoo Finance. I use it to make money because it works. Not just because they're a sponsor of the show. Heck, I've been using them for years before they ever called to become a sponsor. I do a lot of investing, and I need to make split-second financial decisions, and that's where Yahoo Finance comes in. I trade stocks, and I trade options, and you can't trade them in a vacuum. You got to know what's going on. Yahoo Finance gives you the opportunity to look at the whole picture. I mean, breaking news, editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts. I love the customizable charts. They have it all. At Yahoo Finance, I'm part of a community of over 90 million users. You heard me. 90 million folks use Yahoo Finance because they're helping you on your way to financial success. Visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com, yahoofinance.com.
Joelle is a friend of the show.
A friend?
F-O-S.
Yes.
Friend
F-O-S.
Of the show.
She was there at the Big Bang that created the show.
She was a friend from the beginning of the show. First of all, Joelle, where are you coming from?
Coming to you from Seattle, Washington, the studios of Large Media.
So besides being the Big Bang for our show, what do you do at Large Media? What do you do?
I am the managing director, so I pretty much manage the business side of Large Media. My sister and I run this company together. She's the creative side. And so together we are a right and left brain.
And Large Media makes podcasts only, or radio shows, or TV shows, or movies?
We make podcasts for brands, thought leaders, such as yourselves, and change makers.
And that's why it's Large.
That's right. L-A-R-J.
There you go. Gotcha.
But so you know, yeah, you were here at the start of the show, but did you ever think that you would be on the show?
Never. I really never hoped I would be, because if you're on this show, you have had a really challenging circumstance to unravel.
Which leads us right into the question, what large circumstance are we unraveling today?
Credit card fraud. Big win. Big nasty, unpleasant scenario.
Now, what part of the world were you in when this nasty thing happened?
Well, unfortunately, I was in Kauai, which is not that's where only good things are supposed to happen. But I was at the pool bar, as you are, in Kauai. And
as well you should be.
Right. And actually, it was my mother that was there, and she wasn't feeling well, and she was kind of too much sun and stuff. And so I needed to get her out of there. And so I put my card down, and I cashed us out, but I left my credit card in the little billfold thing they give you, not paying attention. Well, I forgot about it because it's not a card I use very often. And I just happened to, I don't even know why I pulled it out. And so when I took my mom back to the room, and I proceeded with the rest of the evening, and I forgot about that card. And two days later, I left the island, and I didn't realize that I didn't have the card with me, because I never really use it. And so I didn't notice that this had happened, that there was these charges on my card, until the end of the month. And what came through on the card were about $5,000 worth of cash being withdrawn from ATM machines, and a gas station charge and a restaurant charge. And then, you know how the hotel, like when I checked in on that, I used that card to check in on the hotel, they ran it. I left on December 7th, but they ran it on December 8th. So when I first looked at that, I thought that was a charge too, but it wasn't. And so I had all these crazy charges that happened between, you know, the 3 days that I was gone, or that I was on the island, between the you know, me leaving the island. And when I reported this as fraud to USAA, they credited back the cash and then they did an investigation. And I've lost my card before and not thought nothing of it. They just, you know, you have fraud protection and they just credit the money. They do the investigation. It's fraud. Done and done. So I didn't file a police report because I'd never had to do that before. But I also was like, they took cash out of my credit card, which I in my whole life have never done. And they took $5,000, my daily max, evidently, I didn't know this, is $5,000 a day on that credit card. So they maxed it out over several different ATMs.
Joelle, on this particular card, you didn't have transaction alerts activated, did you?
Yeah, I mean, this is what is curious to me. I've been with USAA for 25, 30 years with this account, and I have always assumed that I had fraud protection on all my cards and that I would have, it would, I'm learning that, you know, you get travel alerts when you travel. That never happened on any, neither, both my checking and my credit card are with USAA. I've never gotten that kind of notification. And I can't think of a time I've gotten, you know, alert that there's been fraudulent activity on my card. I just have always caught it myself. And it occurs to me that, you know, how did they not think it was unusual that I had taken $5,000 out from multiple ATMs on a single day when I've never in my life taken cash? Who takes cash out on a credit card? Everybody knows better than that.
I
didn't even know it had a PIN.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's the thing.
I don't remember setting a PIN.
Joelle, that was my question is, they were taking out cash advances with your card. Presumably that requires a PIN or like two forms of identification at a bank.
So evidently I set a PIN on that card in 2017, which I think I might've done while I was in Indonesia with the idea that maybe I would want to have that option in a case of emergency, but I don't know what the PIN was. And so I don't know anything about having alerts set. I thought that that was something that automatically you get notified when your card, I've had other credit cards that notify me when things happen. So I just assumed nothing bad was happening on my USAA card because I was never getting alerts. But
well, here's one for you. I seem to remember with some of the banks that I had in the past that they would send me a note saying, this is your PIN number. If you wish to change it, you know, go and go to the website or whatever and change the PIN. So maybe it's possible you never set a PIN that they set a PIN.
Well, it's possible. But the reason that that USAA has determined after 3 months at the end of March, they notified me that this was not fraud. And they're saying, no, you know, it's not fraud. They say it's because the person who stole my card was able to put my PIN in correctly without getting a fail. They put it in for the first time correctly. And so that's all you need to do. And so that doesn't alert anything.
No, but that goes back to what Adam was saying, which is if there was a default PIN number issued by the company, it might have been. So before the show, Travis pointed out that there is a top 10 most used PIN code list.
Yeah.
If it was on that list, they have a one, they have a...
I don't even know what it was. I mean, my guess is, knowing myself, that I either put in a real stupid PIN like, or perhaps I spelled with it, or I did something that would make it so I would remember. unfortunately, I don't even remember doing any of that. And
bleep all of that.
Yeah.
Because it may be that it wasn't you that did it in the first place.
Right.
No,
so,
be, yeah.
I mean, maybe the guy did it. They said that it was set in 2017 because that was my thought, is the guy just figured out how to set the pin. Anyway, so I go ahead and they tell me it's not fraud. I call them and I'm going crazy. I'm shaking. Like, I'm like, what? Because if you think that's not fraud, then you must think I am fraudulent. Right? Like, I'm committing fraud against my own account. I'm telling the bank I've been robbed, but I'm the one that robbed it. So
yeah, they're telling you you're a thief. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. That's basically what they're saying.
Right. Yeah. So I said, maybe you guys better investigate me, because you're suggesting you don't have a problem with your customer being committing fraud. You better investigate me. They have no problem. Hmm. So they still have no problem. They don't, they're not worried about it. Me being fraudulent.
Wait, you're still at this money. They still think that you did not get frauded.
Well, so then in March when they did that, I opened a police report with Kauai police. Kauai went and got they went and pulled all the video, and they see the guy at the ATM with a mask, glasses, and a hoodie. So they can't identify him, but he stands at the ATM, one of the first ATM for 6 minutes, which I'm thinking then he must have had. Maybe it was a swipe, and that's, you know, they're not, USAA won't give me very much information. They're sort of, they're telling me that the guy got it on the first try. I was still on the island of Kauai when this happened. So who knows? And since all that required 4 digits is the only thing protecting me, on my credit card, that's what happened.
But they didn't look at the video. Like, she doesn't.
They
look
did not
like
look
she
at the video. Nope.
And
the Kauai police looked at the video, and that's who they can see is there. And Kauai police is saying, yeah, it's fraud. Although, you know, we haven't caught the guy. So I'm talking to the detective all the time, and he's like, we have the video. We've gone around to a variety of places where, you know, they went back to the pool to see if it was an employee. And they can't find the guy. And so the only way that I could get the full report from the police is to close the case or wait for them to catch the guy. And I can't reopen a fraud case with USAA until I have the information about their investigation. So I'm closing the case at Kauai Police because I don't think they're going to catch this guy. And I'm going to get all the documents all the information about what they saw. And I'm going to go back to USAA and say they caught a guy. But at the, you know, the bottom line is, how did this guy access my account through this credit card if it had a chip? Was he so lucky that on the very first try he caught it? Or is there some dark web way of detecting what the PIN is on a chip card using the swiper or what?
I wonder, Travis, if you can look to see if there are, it's probably not even dark web. If there are lists out there that that have the default PIN codes from institutions.
I did a little bit of research into that, actually, and it looks like they're automatically assigned. But there are ways, though, that you can call, especially if you have someone's account information, and get them to either reset the PIN or get them to give you the PIN.
Aha. Okay. So, Joelle, when you were at this establishment, did you have to provide your name, address, that kind of information?
I was in the hotel.
Did they have your driver's license or anything like that? Did they have a form of ID?
They had to collect my ID and my card when I checked in.
All right. Well, I'm going to already vote. I'm voting. Ready? Here's my vote. It was a hotel employee.
That's what I think too.
Yeah. But it has to have been somebody who had your information and then called up your bank and said, I need to reset my PIN code.
Well, when I talked to the fraud department at USAA about the fact that I'd never set a PIN, they said, you set a pin in 2017. And that's, and I said, because my first thought was that this person got a hold of this card and called USAA and said they're me and set a pin on that day. But USAA right. has a record saying that in 2017, I did set a pin.
But that's it. It was never reset after that.
Correct. It was never reset and no cash has ever been taken off that card.
But were you at the same place in 2017?
Yeah. I go there every year.
Aha.
I win. I win. No. That seems unlikely.
Well, you know what? No. In 2017, I was in Indonesia that year. That's why I think I might have set that pin. Because I was
traveling.
But
not both. You weren't at both places.
No, I didn't go to Kauai in 2017.
I had you as more of a jet setter.
And there's no chance that someone who worked at the pool in Indonesia isn't working at the hotel in Kauai.
No. That I think is that guy got as lucky to guess my exact pin the first time. I got to believe there's technology out there.
Unless your pin was like 1234 or 4444 or something.
I'm not that dumb.
No. I'm not suggesting you are, but if you were just doing it fast.
But you can't remember. But the problem is you don't remember what the pin was.
I know, but I have a couple of go-tos. So okay. It was probably
what
one
are
of
they?
Those. They're not very hard.
One thing to keep in mind, too, is just because the Kauai police had him on camera getting it right on the first try, that doesn't necessarily need to mean that that was his first try.
No, here's the thing. Right? The bank, my USAA says he got it right on the first try.
Okay.
The Kauai police says he stood at the ATM for 6 minutes.
Well, the other question is, was he putting in other credit cards as well?
Right.
And then he
got to yours.
And he,
yeah.
Yeah.
No idea.
Oh, Adam, that's nicely devious on your part.
Huh? They're just throwing that one in there.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Like, I've got to go back and, like, drop the hammer on USAA about the fact that they have, that this is fraud and that they're having a four-digit PIN and that being the only thing that, that is supposed to protect me from a criminal. I'm the one that's robbed. They don't have any fraud detection. They didn't think it was unusual that in Kauai, somebody took $5,000 in cash out of my debit card, off my credit card. I mean, the whole thing just sounds so weak.
There's some things there that match, though. Like, they know you go there. You've been there before. And you've never taken a cash advance that doesn't match.
That doesn't match. But, you're on vacation and maybe...
I just got back from France, and there was a lot of stuff I couldn't stream because I was in the wrong region. But using NordVPN, I was able to stream everything.
I use NordVPN too, but it's more to protect my private data, like bank details, passwords, and online identity. There are a million trackers online that are just sort of watching you, and NordVPN is a great way to get around those.
NordVPN can switch your virtual location, allowing you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price.
If you're traveling and you're using public Wi-Fi, NordVPN can protect you wherever you are.
It's not just that. NordVPN also comes with threat protection, which helps protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites.
NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, and it'll only set you back the price of a cup of coffee a month.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/WTHack.
And hey, there's no risk. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Check the link in the podcast description.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
From multiple ATMs,
well,
there's got to be an algorithm of some sort that's like.
They have an algorithm. Their algorithm says Joelle has just developed a crystal meth problem, and or something. You know, like that's the algorithm. Why does she need $5,000 every 2 days?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was the total take, Joelle?
$5,000 in cash and a couple little transactions. The guy took him out, filled up his car at Texaco, and then took himself out to a very inexpensive Chinese dinner.
And do they have video from the gas station or the Chinese restaurant?
No, they just have it at the ATM.
But that should be enough. You close that case to go back to the credit card company and say, I have a police report. They say it's fraud. You have to deal with this as fraud. I think that's the end of the story. Adam?
I would take that position too, unless someone says, well, you simply had him go to the ATM machine.
That's right.
For you.
That's what I think that's what they're insinuating.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, let this be whatever you call an anti-ad for this particular institution, because that is...
USAA, folks.
They are actually in the middle of a lawsuit for a massive data breach that compromised some of their account information.
Ooh.
USAA?
That might be the counter move. There's your jujitsu right there, Joelle.
Yep.
What dates, I wonder? I wonder when that window was of breach.
2017. Indonesia.
Yeah, well.
How old was the card? Did the card date back to 2017?
It must, yeah. It would, because if they gave me an updated one, I don't have it, of course, because it got stolen. So I don't know the date on it.
But it did have a chip on it, though.
It had a chip. So they updated it. I don't remember when chips came out, but yeah.
I actually think that as the Big Bang for the show, you have you came up with a complete stump the chumps, and you have stumped the chumps.
Dang it.
This is like, as George Carlin would say, it's a mystery.
So it could also be that USA is using older technology, because we all know that banks are pretty resentful about compliance. And so if they're already in a lawsuit about a data breach, it could be that they're about to be in a lawsuit about noncompliance with other laws. Joelle.
Yeah. I'm going to the mat on this thing.
I wonder if you can
and
find
the whole thing is, this sounds very un-USAA. They don't operate like this. They've always been very, very consumer centric.
I trusted them for years. They have my car insurance. I have everything with USAA. I mean, they've taken care of my family, my grandparents, everybody in my family for generations. We're all, military people.
That's why you assume that just for generational continuity, they would bend over backwards in order to help you through this. It's almost like you're just not talking to the right person at USAA.
I've had a lot of very aggressive conversations. And at one point they record them all. I said, well, then you better investigate me. Because I've committed fraud. And they said, well, we don't think you did it. And I'm like,
well, then if you didn't do it, then
that's
then
fraud.
You didn't do it.
That's fraud. And then he got real silent on the other end.
It's
of that
almost
line.
Like, oops.
Yeah.
Now USAA is military, parallel, or it is military.
It is.
Military.
You have to have a family member in the military. Yeah.
Okay. So excuse me, but am I wrong about the fact that the military has a really long and storied past of putting people's social security numbers where people can see them and and other really, really stupid.
Right. You wear your social security right around your neck. Yeah,
that's true.
So
true. Dog tags.
I'm going to say, guys, you guys are not thinking straight, because USAA would be exactly the place that would get identity stuff wrong. Sorry, that's my call.
Lesson learned.
Come and get me, guys. Come and get me.
Well, whatever it is, this does not make sense.
Sounds like their mistake.
Well, earlier this year, they were hit with a $140 million fine as part of two separate consent orders for violations of the Bank Secrecy Act and anti-money laundering laws.
Well, that sounds different. That sounds Soprano-esque. But,
yeah, it sounds different, but if they're being that sloppy.
Well, maybe, there's another thing, too. Have you talked to the Federal Trade Commission or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau about this?
No.
It's a good CFPB call. Yeah.
The CFPB came down recently with a directive involving financial institutions where there were Zelle issues. Am I right, guys? I think it was CFPB. Zelle. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They use Zelle. USAA use Zelle.
But this is why Venmo no longer allows you to use a credit card where cash advances haven't been turned on. Mm-hmm. And the two things that occur to me, Joelle, is... Mm-hmm. just like basic practices that I personally do, and they may not be practical for you, but when I open a new credit card account, which I haven't done for a long time, but even back in the day, they'll ask you, do you want to enable cash advances? And my answer is always no.
Yeah, that would be
my answer. Once you say no, this is, Adam, you get your own say. This is mine. I always say no. And
no, I agree with you.
The reason I say no is because that cash is, that's no longer an option for an identity theft. They cannot do a cash advance with that
card. Plus, cash advances have a horrendous rate of interest.
Stupid. I would never do it.
That's why you're shaking your head, Adam. I thought you were like, no, that's wrong. No,
never take a cash advance on a credit card. That's so dumb. And you wouldn't believe the fees that came with it when the guy ripped me off.
Oh,
I've got those fees plus the interest on it.
So USAA is doing very well with this guy ripping you off.
Right.
But hold on. Now, I turned it off because I had been taken for actually about $5,000 in gold and sneakers in 1995. And I set up the credit card in question after that. And I found out just recently when I was trying to do something on Venmo, and Venmo was like, nope, not this card. And I was glad. I'm glad Venmo is starting to make it harder for people to steal my money. But the other thing that I didn't hear in your story that I think that you might want to consider is setting up transaction alerts, which means that every time you make a purchase, it shows up on your phone.
But the difference is she wouldn't have had a transaction alert on a credit card that she never really used.
No, I have them on all of my credit cards, all of them, even my Discover card. Sorry, Discover.
Well, no, the other secret is if you have a credit card that you don't really use, either close the account or people don't want to because it could affect their available credit, or just take the credit card, put it in a safe deposit box, and then when you use it, then turn on transaction alerts.
I use it when I travel for hotel, because you know how the hotel snags a little cash for a little while, but like they put a hold.
Yeah.
So I use it for that and rental cars and stuff like that that do those things. And also I thought I had protection. So when you rent a car and you use this card, there's protection because I have USAA insurance.
Yeah. I would say I disagree a little bit, Adam, and much as I love you, which is that if you have a credit card that you don't use, you can have transaction alerts set up because you're not using it.
That's
and you
right.
won't be bothered by the transaction alerts.
Yeah.
And I would also say, as a person who, from you, Adam, learned how to make my credit really strong, don't close accounts. Never.
That's what I'm saying. If you close an account, you then have to increase the available amount of credit on another account.
Oh, I see.
But I'm just simply saying that you might not have thought about putting alerts on the card because you never really used it for very much.
Yeah, no, and my argument is similar. I'm just saying, like, since you don't use it, go ahead and do it because it doesn't matter.
To me, that's a really valuable takeaway is, like, especially on a card you don't use very much, have those alerts on there. Like, you know, just silly not to.
Yeah, it's almost like checking your children, you know, like with people who have kids, like they don't all check their kid's credit report. And that can really be a nasty surprise when the kid turns 18.
But think of all your credit cards as children. And you have to follow up on them.
Very hungry,
plastic,
hungry
very
children.
Thin children.
One quick question I have, and this is sort of tangential to this, is there any way you would have reused your PIN code when you got that set up?
Reused
what do you mean?
It.
Elsewhere?
Yeah.
In a different account?
Because Target and Home Depot both had PIN codes compromised just a couple of years before 2017.
Yeah, so I would have... I mean, I have a couple go-to. So if Target, for example, had a PIN code exposed, it would show my credit card number and my PIN?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
On a list somewhere.
Oh my God! Travis did it!
That's very...
Travis.
You know what, Joelle? I think this might be your argument with USAA. That it was accessible on the dark web, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it had nothing to do with you.
So what would be there would be the credit card, the debit card that had that PIN number. If I had the same PIN number, my name.
Yep.
And then so he's like, oh, this is her go-to PIN number. Let me try it here.
No, not even. The guy's sitting at the ATM for 6 minutes. Adam's theory is correct. He has a handful of cards. He's done his research. He bought those cards wherever he bought them. He's done his research, gone on the dark web, and correlated PIN numbers from all those people from other compromises. And now he's trying them.
Yeah, if you were to just see, say, two separate PIN codes from two separate compromised accounts and just say, okay, she's using the same one here twice.
It's either this one or that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Adam, this is where we do the Have I Been Pwned advertisement of the week.
That's right. Is
poster child.
There you go. Is go to Have I Been Pwned and check to see whether your user ID or passwords have shown up anywhere. And if they've shown up anywhere and you tend to use the same ones, then you got to make changes quickly.
All right, fellas. A font of information.
Well, that's why it's always good to use unique PIN numbers and not the same ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really appreciate that.
Thank you for coming home.
Yes. We missed you. Yes. Yes. Nice to see you all and that you're thriving and your show is thriving. It's super fun.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye, guys.
Okay, so quick little quiz for you both. What are the most common PIN codes?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep, that's number one. 10.7% of PIN codes are 1, 2, 3, 4 rather.
0000.
That's number three.
9876.
I'm not seeing that in the top three.
I know. I know. The old calculator favorite, 8008, otherwise known as boob.
Indeed. Not on the list. 8888 is number 17, however.
Okay.
1010.
Number 20.
4444.
Number 8.
Damn.
So number two is, however, 1111.
Oh, duh.
6% Adam, of all PIN codes.
Adam, where? Come on, man. I expect more from you. 1111.
Okay, Travis, how about 1111?
Very good. That's number two.
There you go.
However, did you
Nicely
guess?
Nicely done. All right. Well done. I was pretty stunned by, here's what I think, guys. I already said what I think, but I'm going to say it again. USAA sucks at cyber. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Adam doesn't want to say it because he likes the military, but
please don't get us sued. 2 seconds.
No. We can say they suck. It's just our opinion. I think that the, the Jets often suck at football.
Not often, always.
They're not going to sue me for it. So,
no, but if we have Jet fans out there, I hear 7 of them clicking off right now.
Well, that's like, yeah. I mean, if you're a Jets fan, you actually do enjoy feeling sad.
No, you are an eternal optimist.
Yeah, I guess that's the other. I mean, I just remember when the Knicks still had Patrick Ewing. It was the same thing. You'd be like, oh, this is so wonderful. I wonder how they're going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory in this game.
Ah, the Knicks.
Ah, sports.
Yeah. Travis is more of a Dungeons and Dragons guy. What's going on in the Dungeons and Dragons, Travis?
I don't know. Star Wars, man. Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Oh, pardon me. Star Wars.
That's too many dice to keep track of.
There's a new series coming on one of the channels. It could be another Disney series.
I think it's Andor. Yep.
Andor. Does Andor occur in a Led Zeppelin song? That's what I want to know.
No, it was a spy that was featured in Rogue One.
Ah, all right. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I liked Rogue One. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Right. Avatar is coming too.
Avatar? Is there another Avatar?
Is what? Yes, there is. This December.
And is in the new Avatar? Do they have a giant tinfoil swan that teaches you how to have like better cyber security protocols and personal identity theft protections? And
stuff? Well, let me call James Cameron. I'll get back to you on that.
Oh, it's James Cameron.
I think you put your mind in the body of the tinfoil swan.
You put your mind in the body. Yeah, well, that's what a tinfoil hat is, right?
Right, but with Avatar, you had to go into their body.
So the ultimate tinfoil swan takeaway is if your PIN is 1234, 1111, or 0000, change them.
Okay, we're done. The tinfoil swan is, do not, if the word go to occurs in anything that protects you, change it.
Thanks so much for listening to What the Heck with Adam Levin. If you like the show, please give us a good rating or review wherever you get your podcasts.
What the Heck with Adam Levin is a production of Loud Tree Media.
It's produced by Andrew Stephen, the man with two first names.
You can find us online at loudtreemedia.com and on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Adam K. Levin.